Blog Talk Radio.
Of a Live Without Limits. Today's show is titled The Best Way to Succeed Faster. And one of the reasons I want to talk about this is because we tend to get distracted and do too many things at the same time. And if you really want to succeed, you need to be focused. Let's say you have to learn French. If it's something you have to study in the university, you're not going to learn very much in 1 year. But if you're in France and your girlfriend is French and you need to get a job where you need to speak French, you're going to learn much, much faster because you're motivated. That's just how the brain works. You're never going to master something unless you understand this. We learn much better when we are emotionally engaged, when we want to learn, when we are motivated, when we feel the need to learn. A lot of people go wrong because they choose a career for money. I have nothing against money. We all have to make a living. No, you can't barter services anymore like you could in the past. You really have to pay for services. And money is what keeps us going and keeps us surviving. If you go into law because your parents pushed you into it or because it seems lucrative, but you aren't personally excited about it, you're going to start tuning out. You aren't going to learn very fast. You're going to burn out. You'll never become a master. You'll never be able to put the 10 years or more of studying something unless you really are excited about it. There must be a personal commitment. How many times have you done something that you really love to do and you get so immersed in it that time just seems to pass without you even thinking about it? Well, that's what doing what you really love to do is. It means that you'll want to know all the ins, all the outs, all the intricacies, and you become known as the expert. If it's something that you go into because you're pushed into it, because someone tells you, oh, you got to do this because, and being raised in the Jewish faith, I remember so many times parents saying, oh, my son's a doctor, oh, my son's a lawyer. And they would pick out the careers for their children, not the children picking out the careers for themselves. You know, if it's something in a field that you really want to get into that takes dedication, you have to really love what you're doing. If you're someone that is a salesperson, but you're being a doctor or a lawyer, then guess what? You are not going to be very good at what you do. It doesn't mean you have to know exactly what you want to be when you're 21 years old. It's going to be a process. That might take you 5 or 10 years to figure out exactly what that is. For me, it took 15 years to find out I should be writing books like the kind that I write. It's going to take time. But if you don't make the first step, if you go into the wrong field, you're never going to become a master. You're never going to last long enough. Let me back up here and let me tell you a little story. I grew up with a disability in an era when people with disabilities did not have many options. I was often pigeonholed and told what I should do. And many a times, because I have a good speaking voice, that was, oh, go get a job doing telemarketing and just accept that you're going to get a low-paying job. Don't try to improve. Don't try to do better. You know what? I have done better. And, yes, I have a good speaking voice. And, yes, I did telemarketing. But you know what? I got bored with those jobs so fast. It was pathetic because I like something where I can move, where I can think, where I can work through problems on my own and figure things out. But to sit and look at the same wall day in and day out, to repeat the same words over and over again, that was just boring to me. The process to find your subject of mastery. Everybody has a different process, a different journey. Some people knew clearly what it was when they were young. I met a woman who interviewed me. She knew that she wanted to be a writer when she was a young girl. And then she got into law, and it was a dead end, and she hated it. She finally figured it out at the age of 31 that she had to go back to what she really loved. Some people will be like that. Others who come to me and say, I have no idea what my passion is. I have no idea what I really love. In my work as a consultant, I have dealt with people, many people, who say that to me. They say, I'm 35. I'm 40. I don't know what it is that I was meant to be. I really have no idea. That's troubling because that means you're not listening to yourself. You're not aware of your own likes and dislikes. You have been paying too much attention to what other people are saying. You have to go through a process now of looking at yourself. Go back and look at your childhood. Look at the things that excited you. Look at maybe where you went wrong. Look at the things you hate. Look at the subjects that really excite you when you open a newspaper or go online. I could take a couple of months. It could take a year. It depends on the person. You're reconnecting to what I call a voice inside you that you had when you were a kid that drew you to certain activities that you have lost to touch with. I could go for hours about the process that I use in consulting, but it's basically not going to be an overnight revelation. You're not going to wake up and go, I should have been a doctor. It isn't like that. It takes time, but it's so worth it. You know, we end up in fields that we may not like, but there's also aspects of those fields that you do like, and there's a way to adjust and adapt what you're always educated in and what you really love to do and do all those things and kind of readjust your thinking. The next step, if you're 22 and about to enter the career world, it's usually a matter of like this field, the sciences, or I like sports, or whatever, the general category of things that you're going to pursue. For me, it was writing. When I was 21, I decided I would go into journalism as a way to make a living and train myself as a writer. You're going to make a choice of something to start with that is in some way related to the field you love. It can be general. It can be just the tech world, or it could be a business. It doesn't have to be specific, but you've got to make the right choices. You want to think of your 20s as your apprenticeship. We don't use the word school system, the education system, where we are all guided, and there are teachers there to help us. Now, there is nobody there to guide you in the new part of your life, so you're creating your own apprenticeship. An apprenticeship means you're going to have to learn new skills. It's not about making money. If you're 22 and you're obsessed with making money, you're never going to really make a lot of money. It's a perverse law of human nature that you're going to discuss. The people who end up making the most amount of money are usually motivated by something else. The classic example is Steve Jobs, somebody who from very early on was clearly not very interested in money. And look where he ended up. For your apprenticeship years, you're choosing something that appeals to you, and now you're open. I call it a journey. You're going to discover you like what you're doing, but there's something better for you. It is not exactly right. After 3 years, I knew that journalism wasn't really right for me. I moved in a different kind of writing. You'll figure, all right, I'll go into a different line of work or a different business, still related. As you do this, you're going to be accumulating skills and experiences. You're going to be observing people. You're going to get political, social skills. By the time you're 31, you're going to own the world. You're going to have a lot of experience. Then you will be able to figure out how to combine everything you learned into something great that really appeals to you. I give examples in my book where I interviewed contemporary masters. One of these, Paul Graham, started a company called Y Combinator, which is an entrepreneur system for tech people in Silicon Valley. It's worth billions of dollars. And he went through the same journey. He didn't realize until he was 30 what it was that he to do. But in his 20s, he had all of these amazing experiences that served as a foundation for what ended up being his great tech business that he created for Netscape back in the 90s. But be prepared not to necessarily strike gold when you're 25 or 26. It's going to take some time. But if you think of it as your own education that you yourself are in charge of, you're going to be a lot better off than people who just wander around and just choose any career. But what if you are older? My father worked in the same company for 40 years. They were loyal to him, and he was loyal to them. That's not the long ago that a world existed where people would work at one place and things were sort of taken care of. Let me go back and talk a little bit about that, because that is a real topic that people need to be thinking about, because back in the early part of the 20th century, when the Europeans first came here, they brought their skills with them. They took those skills. And what did they do? They did the same thing. For many of them, they used to go home to home selling their wares. When they came to the United States, what did they do? They took all their wares and they put them on push carts. And they stand on street corners. And their children were the first generation born in this country. They went to work for the corporations. And I have an uncle that I remember my mother always talked about. And he went to work for the steel mill. And he was willing to work for free until the owner was willing could afford to pay him a salary. Do you know that when the owner of that company died, it was in his will that his sons could not fire Uncle Lonnie? They had to let him work until he was willing to retire. So he worked well into his 70s. And it's the baby boomer generation that when they came along, it was unwritten law at that time because their parents went to work, the first generation born in this country, they went to work for the corporation. They grew at the company. They worked there 25 years. They got their retirement party. They got their gold watch. So the baby boomer generation had that unwritten rule that they expected to work their whole lifetime in one job. But then guess what? In the 90s, late 80s, you started seeing corporations merge. And when they merged, what happened? There were two to three people doing the same job. So what did corporations do? They started offering buyout packages to their employees because of that unwritten rule. And that was around the time of the Y2K era, when many of them went into business for themselves. So you can see there has been a progression of where business is today. Today, we've gone back to where we were in the early part of the 20th century, only our place of business is on the computer, on the internet, selling our wares and services. So that is how we come full circle. But that's been obliterated. You cannot rely on the company you're working for now. It will downsize you the first chance it can, or as soon as it reaches a certain age. It'll replace you with somebody who is cheaper. I wish it wasn't that way, but my book is about being realistic, and that's the nature of it. You've got to take control of your own life and craft an apprenticeship. Your 10,000 hours can come from different things you have done in your life. For instance, this woman that I mentioned who spent her 20s in law and realized it was the wrong thing, she decided when it was finished, she would become a writer about legal issues, which was a brilliant move on her part. All that legal experience added up to 3,000 or 4,000 hours of already writing about legal matters. Then she started getting into journalism, and now the hours are piling up. You can take the time you think you wasted doing something else and apply it to something that really appeals to you. Suddenly, all the experience enters into practice. I did a lot of really bad jobs myself because as a writer, I wanted a lot of experience. I did construction work. All these jobs taught me about people and about weird power situations, about the games bosses play, and all different kinds of careers. That helped me write my book. If you are 35, you don't have to go, oh, darn it, I can't do 10,000 hours. My life is screwed. No, you have already probably done 5,000 hours. Now you have to find a way to apply those 5,000 hours in a way that wants appropriate and personal. The worst feeling in life comes from the sense as you get older, that you didn't somehow tap your potential, that you're not expressing what you think you could have expressed. And it makes a lot of people very, very unhappy. I don't think a lot of those people who we see as driven are necessarily unhappy. They do spend a lot of time with their work, and they are maybe obsessive, but that kind of attention to detail, to doing what you love, brings a sense of satisfaction that maybe isn't the same satisfaction that you might get from an immediate rush of going to a party. It's a different kind of happiness. It's something a little more like fulfillment. I believe that mastery in the path towards that. I have a quote in there from Da Vinci, which I love. The day when you have worked hard brings a blessed sleep, a life in which you fulfill what you're doing brings a blessed death. This idea is as if you feel like you realize your potential. You almost feel like you can die a happy person. For so many of us, because we have let other people decide for us what we should do, what we shouldn't do, what we can do, what we can't do, well, guess what happens? When that happens to you, what do you do? And this is why parents who are very controlling don't realize that some people are very outgoing. Some people are very reserved. Some people need to be pushed and encouraged. And you have to accept that your children are their own unique people. You can't expect them to live their life the way you live your life. And, you know, you do have certain people in certain professions that, and you've seen this across the board where every industry has changed. And what happens is for so many people that grow up in the entertainment business, their lives become so enmeshed in that field that they may not, over a period of time, really enjoy the being in front of the camera, but they may really enjoy going back and teaching other people what they've learned over the years. And you can see that in their work as a director, as a producer. And many actors, if they want to be successful in that profession, they have to be able to be adaptive because your time in front of the camera changes. And even athletes, how many years does a baseball player truly have where they're at the top of their field? Or a football player, because of all the way the game is played and the body gets out or you get injuries. So if you can't adapt to where you either become the announcer and you can give the analysis of what's going on in the field, then you go back and coach other people when your career over, you have to be adaptive. Everything changes. And what you learn along the way, it teaches you how to do what other people can do. And it helps you be a better person and anything that you choose. And it doesn't matter what your choices are in life. We all have things that we enjoy doing. And we influence other people, whether they're our own children, whether they're our friends' children, even someone who is an adult. If you've grown up in an industry, if you've watched it, whether it was your parent or someone that was in it, and you've learned by osmosis what they learned, or you're someone that was an entertainer and you actually grew up doing and learning and eventually moving into becoming a coach of other actors or becoming a director or a writer and helping others who are young children and mentoring them as adults, then what you learn from the masters, they will learn from you. And this is where the circle of influence is constantly moving and why we need to see how we as adults can influence our children, but also encourage them to be who they want to be. and accept that if you have someone that you really love watching on a show, and you've seen this, how many times in prime time have shows lasted a long time, 10, 11 years, and then when those shows went off, the entertainers on that on those shows, they end up going in a totally different direction with their profession, and they get to do things behind the camera, because it's not just that you're going to school and you're learning how to do these things, but you're also learning how to impart your knowledge. And I can tell you as a speaker, as a trainer, what I do in this radio show or any other avenue is always based on the fact that I had to overcome a lot of odds. And in overcoming those odds, I learned how to adapt. And I learned how to set goals. And I learned how to set goals in a way that they were achievable, so that they were things that I could overcome in spite of the odds. And you have to learn how to do these things, because there's always going to be obstacles in your way. And especially for women, because women have had a more difficult time. They've had to overcome that glass ceiling. And that glass ceiling where males say, this is as far as you're going to go. This is all you're going to achieve. And what we're seeing is, because of politics, because of equality, things are changing so that more and more women are becoming the business owners, are becoming directors, are becoming the producers of shows. So, and those people who have been able to break those glass ceilings previously are the influencers that are able to open the doors for the people coming today. And the people coming today still have obstacles they are overcoming, and those obstacles are things that they can break down for the future generations. And I would like to remind you that you can go to my website, and that website is the number one personal careercoach.com, and you can sign up for coaching.